Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Putin made some revealing comments, unsurprising comments, at the St. Petersburg Economic Forum a few days ago. So it's been going on every June in St. Petersburg, his hometown, for over 20 years. And it used to be an important event, something not that far off the scale of Davos, the World Economic Forum in Switzerland each January. So plenty of foreign heads of state, including Western leaders, would go, the CEOs of major corporations all over the world. It was quite something for real movers and shakers. And it is a shadow of its former self. Since Putin launched his illegal and unprovoked invasion of Ukraine in an attempt to oppress it, to bring about the deracination of the Ukrainian people, the erasure of their identity, the lobotomization of them culturally and so forth, and the imposition of his bloodthirsty tyranny in the Ukrainians. Not surprisingly, people have stayed away in their droves. Now, he is certainly a chauvinist, and he likes to dine with the big boys, he sees it. We can consider the Russian Federation to be a superpower up there with the United States and China, and but he's having to make put do with leaders from what he would view as puny countries. They're openly contumelious against countries from the global south, and yet they'll claim to have fellow feeling with them that they also oppose Western hegemony and so on. Really, Russia wants to be the hegemon worldwide if they could, but I think even Putin's not quite that deluded. The regional hegemon, he defined Russian security as the insecurity of his neighbors, wants them to be prostrate, pleading for mercy. Anyway, so this is what he said. And despite him pretending to want peace and saying he's willing to meet Zelensky and then chickening out, on the 20th of June this year at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, he said, in that sense, the whole of Ukraine is ours. Remember, he published that essay a few months before the war, which surely he didn't write, on the historical unity of the Ukrainian-Russian peoples. And it wasn't completely implausible, right? I mean, so, okay, much of Ukraine was part of Russia one time. Kiev is the birthplace of Russia, and so forth. And so there's some commonalities, and there's some Ukrainians, including ethnic Ukrainians, who accept his view. All right, if the majority of Ukrainians voted to unite with Russia, and Russia's willing to accept them, I wouldn't stand in their way. And there's some regions in eastern Ukraine and southern Ukraine where many people feel like that, and most of them are ethnically Russian. And they're not all ethnic Russians who Ukrainian citizens feel that way. There's some ethnic Russians, Ukrainian citizens who do not want to be part of Russia, except that they are Ukrainian, or also say that Ukraine is a democracy, offers a brighter future than Putin's cruel dictatorship. So if when he restricted himself to the eastern regions, there was a modicum of logic and justice to his claim. Not fully, it's certainly not watertight, but it wasn't completely unjust. When he claims the rest of Ukraine, it is. Just because it's part of Russia a very, very long time ago doesn't make it right that it rejoins Russia now. Ukraine is a sovereign nation and it recognized by every country in the world, including Russia. And then obviously Putin will talk out of both sides of his mouth. You see how utterly fork-tongued he is. He contradicts himself. He is just an inveterate pathological liar. His mendacity is utter and it is revolting. Then he said, wherever a Russian soldier sets foot, that is ours. Wow. Wow. Well, the other former Soviet republics ought to worry. The Russian troops were in France, actually, after the Napoleonic Wars. Does he claim that? Russian troops were in Alaska. Russian troops have, they used to control ports on the coast of China. Is he talking about the Russian troops when there were Soviets who were in Cuba? This is very, very worrying. It shows his megalomania that he wants to conquer many, many countries. So there is no end to his bloodlust. It's very troubling like that. And anyway, he says that he does not exclude the possibility of capturing Sumy, which is in northeast Ukraine, close to the Russian border. So I thought there's some sort of summer offensive coming in Russia from Russia already. I'm surprised it hasn't launched already, but perhaps it's because they're so short of assets, the losses have been quite high. So it can sustain this campaign into 2026, as we say. Then comes crunch time. I mean, this is top priority for him. He sees this as cementing his legacy, thinking the Ukrainian will collapse first. At the moment, there's actually no sign of that. That Western political will to sustain them will wither away, and obviously it's wavered to say the least with Trump. But even they haven't completely cut off military aid or intelligence sharing. And the bad news for Putin is he's been so slow. The European NATO countries have hugely ramped up military production. And some of that's going to Ukraine. I mean, often it's their older vehicles and so on, the past their service lives. So even if it were to defeat Ukraine, the conventional forces, he just can't take on European NATO. That's if they stand as one. If he goes after Estonia and the others don't pile in, well, then he's going to succeed, of course. So had he conquered Ukraine in 2 days, like he said, that would have been an earthquake. And then he really would have had a good chance against European NATO, especially if America hadn't stood in, because they weren't prepared. The one thing Putin does have is a lot of battle-hardened troops, because, you know, troops go all this training, how are they going to react in the real situation? I've never been a military man, but I'm told the training is only so good that these live fire exercises. I've heard of British troops who were in Desert Storm 1991 fighting over Kuwait said, oh, it was just like a live fire exercise. Training just kicked in. It wasn't that difficult. But they say other people, despite all that, they can't necessarily cope in the real situation. So his offer of peace is conditional, said he doesn't want Ukraine surrender, ha, 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 but has to recognize the realities on the ground, as in everything that they've seized illegally has to be recognized as de jure Russian territory. And then he wants Ukraine to be permanently neutral, to never join NATO, to be, disarmed. So why wouldn't he invade the rest? He'll be thick enough to trust him. Well, only Trump. So he is open to having a parley. What would your answer be to say that Ukraine should have been left as neutral field between Russia and West? I will say it's up to the Ukrainians. And you can see why they don't want to be neutral is because they're being savaged. And the reason they're being attacked is partly because they're not in NATO. And if they were, Russia wouldn't dare do this. Why do they invade a relatively large country like Ukraine and not go for an easier victim like Latvia or Estonia or Lithuania or Finland, all of which were part of the Russian Empire at one time or other? Russia butt out of it. So Russia's absolutely no right to dictate Ukrainians' foreign policy or domestic policy. Ukraine doesn't try to do so to Russia. Russia jealously regards its sovereignty. It wasn't in NATO. Okay, they chose to sign this Budapest memorandum. You can see why. So why doesn't Russia be neutral? And then all its alliances, why does it be the linchpin of the Collective Security Treaty Organization and so forth? Goodness. So Russia currently illegally occupies over 20% of Ukrainian soil. And so it's going on. So it's just a pretense when he says that he's open to persuasion about negotiations. He's had numerous chances. Zelensky's been willing to meet him in person in Turkey. Putin has proved his bad faith. He is a pathological liar. He's absolutely not to be trusted. If you trust him, you really need your head examined. You'd have to be staggeringly stupid. I mean, Trump-level idiocy to trust him. But their concern is valid, isn't having a NATO state is a threat. Well, it's a bit late for that. They've had it since like about 1949. The Soviet Union, they had Turkey, for example. They had West Germany when they had Soviet troops in East Germany. They had Norway. And then NATO troops on their border? Well, they've already got Norway and now Finland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. They've made it in Poland. They've brought NATO closer. This war has caused two more countries to join NATO, which previously never even considered it. So it's been a massive ungirl. It's really backfired on them. So, I mean, NATO has never attacked Russia, has no intention of attacking Russia, and even Putin hasn't pretended that. So this is victim blaming. This is just turning it around. All right. Well, anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.